everything that is sung and done here today. You know, go ahead and just high-five somebody before you're seated. Praise the Lord. We have something very special today. And I'm going to ask for all the shepherd elders, if you are available, to please make your way and stand here behind us. And any of the staff and staff spouses, if you would like to come, that would be great. We have someone very special and her family that are standing here. And Pastor Dan, would you go ahead and give Terry the mic? And we're going to honor this amazing woman today. Honey, go ahead.
Well, there's Cindy Bruce. Okay. Pat Rubottom. We all know Pat and Nolan. Of course, Nolan passed right before Christmas. But Pat, the Lord is doing something amazing in your life. And she and her family, her children, so everybody knows Ray and Cindy, and of course this is Bruce, Cindy's husband, and they are moving to Fort Smith, Arkansas. Pat has been in this church for 83 years. No, 81. No, it's 81, because you were 3 years old when you came. Her mother and grandmother came here first. When the church was over on Broadway in Washington, and then they sold part of the property for the 10 freeway to be built. And then they moved over here. Hooper White brought the church over here, and he married you and Nolan.
Yes,
her and Nolan were married 64 years. She has been in this church and has been a pillar in this church for so long. Years and years you ministered in this church, way back when you and Nolan sang in the choir, then your children sang with you. Then they would teach Sunday school classes, and you taught marriage classes. And then, Pat, when I was having my babies, you started Mommy and Me, yes, for 5 years. And then she started the preschool and did the preschool here at the church for 17 years. And so, Pat, I will never forget your flannel graph. I still remember flannel graph and her stories. Oh, my goodness, you have taught so many children and taught so many teachers and taught so many of us moms about educating our children, not only in the Lord, but in life. And you have done so much here in this church, serving it, being faithful to the bone. So she's been here. And Pat, we just want to honor you today because we know the Lord has a new chapter in your life going forth into Arkansas. You know, Pat's always wanted to leave California. Does everybody know that? She told Nolan that when they moved in that house, we can just stay here a few months and then we'll need to move. 63 years later, they lived in that house 63 years. Because you were just a baby.
He was born there,
yeah. So, gosh, Pat, you have been so stable and faithful through all these years to your home and family, to your husband, to this church, to the Lord, to all of us. And we want to send you forth with much love and prayers and joy. And so, how many of you guys remember that song from the 80s, Friends Are Friends Forever? Packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. Can't believe the hopes he's granted. Means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close and hold you as always. It won't even seem like you're gone. Because in our hearts and big and small ways, we'll keep the love. I'm not going to make it through this song. It keeps us strong. Because friends are friends forever. If the Lord is the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcomes never end. Though it's hard to let you go. In the Father's hands, we know that he's got you, he's leading you. And it's a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. So we just speak joy and love. And just what God has for you. And we all know Pat, she can't sit idle. She's going to do something over there. She's going to find a church, find some kids, find some people to teach. Because that's what she does. And we love her for it. And we thank you. We thank you for your lifetime of ministry here.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Yes.
Who I am today is because of you. All of you have influenced my life. And so I have grown up here, and that means so much because you're godly people. You serve the Lord right along with me. And when I was little, my mom and I would go to the church on Washington and Broadway, and we'd be the first ones there and the last ones to leave. There are certain people that so touched my life deeply. And she was in her 80s when she passed here, but every day, every Sunday, I would look for her because she was my Sunday school teacher. And she influenced my life to serve the Lord in such a way. You asked me names. That's the worst thing you can ask me is her name. But Lila Montroy was her name. Yes. She said she was smaller than I am. But so powerful that she was faithful. And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be like her, faithful to the Lord. I saw the benefits in her life, and that affected me. That's who I want to be like. And never knew that until we were all moved from the Four Square Church on Washington Broadway over to here. And I was, even till this day, I remember watching her walk in. Because I wanted to know if she was going to be there that day. She was my rock. Just because she was here serving the Lord and being with you. And that influenced my life. You think you may not do anything for anybody else, but be faithful. Faithful to the Lord in our home and to the Lord everywhere we go. This morning, we walked by this young man in the hotel, and he was in some sort of a costume, and I said something to him if he was part of this group, and I looked into his eyes, and they were so dark and so wanting, and I turned around and just told him something, and He just looked back. But what he saw was the Lord. Because Jesus loves that man that's on a TV program. And so we can affect people wherever we are. And whether we're in California or Arkansas. We're all
Fort Smith.
Fort Smith. And I may not talk like this anymore.
Why not?
Okay. Well, I am going to so miss this couple. She has influenced my life greatly. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad they're here, and they've been here, and they've been faithful to through thick and thin. And when you see that and you come out victorious,
yeah.
You know they are faithful to the Lord, and they want you to be faithful and just on fire for the Lord. So be faithful to them and the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
We're going to pray over her. But just to let everybody know, the ladies, Tuesday, right after Bible study at 11 o'clock, we're going to do a luncheon for Pat, a goodbye luncheon for her, if you can come. I know many of you work and you can't, but that's okay. But we're going to do that on Tuesday at 11, because they're leaving Wednesday, you know, for Arkansas, so, or wherever it is. But anyway, I'm not sure where you're going the first night, but they're leaving this week. So, honey, let's just pray over them.
Well, you and your husband have been such an intricate part of every series or season. That's the word I'm looking for, that this church has had.
Yes.
And you've been those that have been on the top, rising up with your faithfulness. And I'll never forget my last conversation with your husband. And the things that he said, I'll hold them dear to my heart before he passed. And we want you to know we love you. We are thankful for you. And you got a new season. And you got some wonderful things to accomplish. And we're excited about that. Your latter days will be your greater days. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Well, some of the leadership are standing behind you, thankful for you. And and they are standing behind you, understanding the reason why they're here is because you were here. And we're going to pray now over you and your family. Israel, can you go ahead and lay your hands on Pat? And gentlemen behind the family, if you could you lay your hands on them. In Jesus' name, we proclaim the giftedness of God that is in each individual of this family will just flourish as they drive to Arkansas. Blessings upon the new house. Blessings upon the new car. And blessings upon that new tractor they're going to buy. In Jesus' name, Lord, cause the garden to flourish.
Yes, yes.
Cause everything they put their hands to,
yes,
to flourish,
to grow,
as they walk in unit, as a unit, doing the will of the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've already prepared that church for their anointing to walk in. Blessings upon that church as they receive them with gladness. And we give you all the praise for the Rue Bottom family. Blessings upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. Wow. Pat, there was anointing on you when I hugged you. And I felt that. That's okay. I'll tell her later. Thank you for being here. Many years ago, I heard the Lord say to me, if you know my personality, slow down and walk with me. He says, slow down. And when you hear that with my type of personality, no, that's not something I want to do, slow down. I like doing more and more and more for the kingdom of God. But you know, we are always in a hurry, aren't we? We're always moving, trying to do that new thing. But the question that I want you to grab a hold of today, which will be the premise of my message today, is what is the pace of God? What is God's pace? We see in Genesis, the book of Genesis, that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. We see in the Gospels that Jesus walked to many places, walk through, the Bible talks about. So in the Bible, I see the pace of God is walking. But let me just say something. There is only one place in the whole Bible when God runs. It's the only place in the Bible, and it's when he ran towards the prodigal. God always runs towards the prodigal, the one that doesn't know, the one that is lost, or maybe the one that is returning, the prodigal. Now, my thought today, if the pace of God is walking, then why are we running? Because we need to keep step with the Spirit. Are you seeing that? When we ask God for things, we need to keep in step with what the Holy Spirit is showing us. We need not to run ahead, or we need not to fall behind. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke 24. We're going to continue in the series of the stories around the tomb. Last week was an amazing weekend. Just amazing salvations, healings, Holy Spirit baptisms, people that we've never met, we were able to minister to. But let's continue talking about the stories of people who are around the tomb. But we're going to go back to those three ladies, because to me, the greatest stories are around those three ladies. So let's read Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember," I'll just paraphrase, "remember that word he said to you? Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" That's this day. "And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene," here's the ladies, "Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Verse 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. Now, 2 weeks ago, we told their stories and their testimonies of what happened in their lives and why they served God. But here in this story, what I want to get to is heaven asked the question. In your life, why do you seek the living among the dead? The answer to this today is going to give you revelation of stepping out in areas of your life that maybe you struggle in. There are areas of hurts and experiences in your lives that are still trying to get you down. But we must understand in our thinking, see, part of our title is "What Were They Thinking?" In our thinking, we want to go back to that pain. We want to go back to that situation. We want to figure out what's the answer. What do we need to do? But I want to tell you the answer is God's moved on. Will you go where he is? See, your hopes have been crushed. Areas of your life have been crushed, like those around the tomb. Stress, emotions have overwhelmed you. And still some are trying to get an answer to that hurt or to that emotion that you feel. But God's asked you the question, why do you seek the living among the dead? The angel said, don't you remember what Jesus said? That's where Jesus is at. His word takes you to where Jesus is at. His word takes you to the plan that God has for you. So remember, we learned from the three ladies, how to go where Jesus is. Remember, I'm going to remind you, they had an amazing gratitude for what Jesus had done in their lives. Each one of them faced tragedy and difficulty in their life. But what Jesus did for them, they had great gratitude. These ladies were so thankful how their lives were changed by Jesus. Their gratitude turned into thankfulness, and that thankfulness turned into a motivation to serve and to give. Remember? They would go before Jesus and the great disciples. They would go before them and prepare everything for them so that when they got there, they could do the work of the ministry. But see, it's those ladies who were thankful and had great gratitude that prepared the place for that anointing to move. Their devotion to Jesus overcame their emotions of hurt and loss. People ask, what do I do? Become a devoted person that serves the kingdom of God. Turn that hurt around and serve the kingdom of God. So these women so loved Jesus and the kingdom of God, they were going to dress Jesus. They're going to do one more thing before the finish, the end. Like many of us think, it's over. I've been devastated. Nothing's going to work. I might as well move on to some other place you don't know. But see, God knows. God knows what's going on in your situation. They literally were so devoted, they wanted to make sure they got frankincense and myrrh so the body wouldn't stink. This is their heart. Don't worry, Jesus. We're still here for you. We are still thankful for what you did for us. Even though our king is dead and the Romans, you know, the thought process of the day, are still in power, at all cost, we are devoted for you. The guys were hiding behind closed doors. They were going to take care of Jesus one more time. And my statement to you, sometimes you feel like it's not worth it. Let me say to you, maybe just do it one more time. Maybe just walk towards that place that God's called you to one more time. So the story of the girls, imagine with me, Mary saying, girls, get some of that myrrh and that frankincense. We got to hurry. We got to get there. But they arrive at the tomb, and again, something is wrong. The stone is rolled away, and they don't know where Jesus is. But two shining men, dressed in clothing so bright that they literally knew they were not from earth. And the Bible says that they trembled. And the angels began to speak to them. See, what is happening here is heaven is talking to earth a language they understand. Have you ever said this in your pain and your struggle? They just don't understand. They don't understand me. They don't know why I feel the way I feel. Well, I want to tell you, God does. What has God said about that dead place, they're telling them? This says to us, even though some do not understand what is happening in their life, God does speak your language. God understands and God has the answer if you listen to what he's saying. Because around the tomb, around that dead place, sometimes we struggle. We struggle with hearing the voice of God because the pain is so much. See, there are over 200 languages. I've ministered a lot in Africa. There are over 200 languages spoken on the continent of Africa. But God has your language. God knows what you need. And God wants you to get out of that dead place. God can and will reveal himself to you on any level where you're at. Whatever is going on in your thinking, God can go to your level and speak your language so that you can understand exactly your next step. But I want to tell you, God's not in the dead place. He's in the land of the living. So here is a question I want you to think about regarding the women. Why would heaven ask them or even us a question? Do you think we can educate heaven, the God of all knowledge? No, we can't. So why would they ask them a question? When heaven asks earth about anything, it is not for heaven's understanding. God only asks you to pray to bring you into agreement to him. Not to give him the information, because God knows the information. God knows your need, but he's over where that need is going to be met. He's in the land of the living. He's not in that dead place. He's not in that past that tried to destroy you. He's in the place where he's called you. And let me tell you, that calling can't be messed up because the calling came at the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 1. Everything that God's called you to, no man can hinder or stop unless you stay in the dead place. This is what is going on around the tomb. This is what happens in our dead places, and we all have them. The God that I serve knows the end from the beginning. That's what Scripture tells me. So know this today. God already knows. He knows what's going on in your house. He knows what's going on in your job. He knows what's going on with your daughter or your son. He knows all things. So the question literally is telling us to stop telling God what he already knows and walk with him where he's at. Not before him or not behind him. Walk with him. That's the work of the resurrection power, is that you have a unique, perfect relationship with God. When you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ paid for that. It's not by my goodness or what I do. It's because of what Jesus did and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And by the action of faith, receiving and believing it, I can walk in that relationship. And every single day in the midst of tribulation and trials in my life, I can find that place where God is. He is asking you to pray so you can get in alignment with him. Alignment with his word. Literally, what am I saying? This is what God was saying slow down. Walk with me. Align your heart, align your thinking with me. I've already said what my plans are for you. So walk with me and you will receive it. You know, my happiness, our happiness comes because God knows. Not because he fixes it. My happiness comes because God knows. And he has that language to talk to me and to touch my heart in areas of my life. Some are running and saying, I need to tell God about my spouse. God already knows. Matter of fact, don't get mad at him. He made your spouse. I'm going to tell God about that school board. He already knows. Knowledge begins with God. If you are listening online, God already knows. He knows that situation. He knows that sin. He knows that mistake. He knows that you've tried over and over again, and it seems like it's not working. What God is saying, come on, walk with me. Get away from that dead place. So what does that mean for you and I today? What this does, it directs your attention to the flaw of your thinking. To the flaw of my thinking. Because he says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Your thinking is taking you to a place that he's not at. But God's everywhere. Yes, he is. He's there. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. But his power will move where he's at, in his presence, what he has said to you. The angel said again, what are you looking for in your life? In your life, that's not here around the tomb. He's risen. Let me just say this to you. And some of you, because you're very humble, you love God with all your heart, you're seeing the hand of God in your life. I'm saying to you also what this is saying to you. You're looking too low. Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking too low. Just go ahead, just tell someone that. See, why I'm saying that, because if going to Israel, and quite a few of us went together, when you go to the tombs were low. You would have to stoop down in many cases to look in because it was kind of like a cave and it would go down. And so you'd have to go down. So the Bible tells us that Peter looked in. He didn't look in like knock on the door and look. He stooped down and he looked and he saw what he saw. And I'm saying to you, God's thinking where he's at is greater than your thinking where you're at. Not because you're bad or not because you're doing something wrong. I'm saying to you, think large. Think large. Could it be possible you're looking for the right thing in the wrong place? I should write a song about that. Here lies the problem. With hopefully a few. They keep going where they last saw Jesus. They keep going to that place and God has moved on. He's walking. God's pace is walking. So here's the information. God has moved on. Go where he goes. The problem I see, especially as a supervisor years back, is churches keep going back to where Jesus used to be, and where he used to bless. He's not there. He has risen and he's moved on. Let me read this to you, Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God. The Bible says the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And so as we talked about a couple of weeks, and I walked around here many times as they walked around Jericho, the thing is that many people are looking for the walls to be crashing down, but they don't want to march around. Many people want the Red Sea to be split, but they don't want to wait on God and walk with God in his direction. They want the miracle instead of moving where God is, where the miracles always take place. And life at times will be tough. Life at times will deal to you things that it's hard to handle, that maybe you don't even understand. But let me be a little pastoral and ask you a question. Why are the angels still there at the tomb when Jesus left? So the ladies, Peter and others, plus you, see the dead place where Jesus is not at, and you won't misunderstand that principle. Walk with God. Now, what'd they think? Someone robbed the tomb. No, they didn't. Let me tell you, some of you are going through some strange times, but don't be afraid. Right now, this is becoming prophetic. Some of you are going through strange times, but don't be afraid, because God has ordained a shift in your life. Some of you are asking, why is this happening to me? God is wanting a shift to take place so that what you've been asking for, what you've been trying to move towards, will begin to take place. Jesus has moved to the next level. Did you know that there are levels of growth, of development in your Christian walk? And sometimes, because it's very comfortable, we stay in that one level. And God is asking us to step up to the next level. And I'm going to give you some points in that of stepping up. Is what God is asking us, and what they were thinking there, trying to figure out what they need to do. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Samson laid in Delilah's lap. Delilah cut his hair. Samson woke up and still tried to move in the power of God. The hair was gone. As long as your hair is not cut, you will have the strength of God. The hair was cut. He was still operating, I'm going to use this term with all the movies we watch, he's still operating in the old dimension. Why do I keep going back to the place of my pain while I shout to God for power? Why do I keep rehearsing in my mind the thing that takes my strength? Well, God, your plan and your future is yea and amen. No matter what I face, no matter what I've experienced, whatever tragedy that I have seen, whatever situation arose in my heart, God's got a plan for me, and it's good. So what God was saying to me in my beginning statement is, Gary, I want you to walk with me. I got some really good stuff for you. I want you to walk with me, and I want you to talk with me. You stay beside me. Oh, God, you're so holy. Yeah, I am. I'm holy. All the stuff God's, you know, God is. But he's saying, walk with me. Because he's what? What learned last week? He's Father. He's Father. Daddy is talking to you and to me. And he's saying, come on, let's step up. Let's make this choice. These situations that we've faced in our life, let's allow in our life that transformation to take place. Because you cannot walk to your future when you're hanging around a tomb. That dead place can be unforgiveness, hurt, bitterness. See, what happens if our thinking stays around the tomb and unforgiveness and hurt and bitterness and all that, what happens is the blessings of God stay in that place. And he has so much more planned for you. Philippians 3:13-14 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's where God is. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand with me because I want to pray with you. Paul wrote that. We can ask Paul. Paul, why do you press on even though everything happened to you that happened? Paul answers and says, because God moved on. God moved on. He arose. He's no longer there in that dead place. And there's a perfect relationship with God to walk and talk with him. Not getting ahead of him, not falling back behind him, but being right with him. Everyone here, the many watching online, God is taking you to a greater place. When I put this message together many months ago, went over it a couple weeks ago, last week, yesterday, the day before, God kept telling me, God's doing something greater. God's doing something greater. Why hinder it with that anger with sin? Why hinder it when you're bitter? Oh, tragedies, difficulties in life can bring such emotional destruction. But that's what Jesus arose for. That's what he died for. He went and defeated death, hell, and the grave. He arose from the dead. He went to the Father to make sure of those dwelling places. Not a mansion. I'm sorry, he didn't have a hammer in his hand. The dwelling place, because you have perfect relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and he defeated Satan. He defeated sin. Take a deep breath. Because I know I said a lot about emotional things, and our minds, our thinking went back to that. Take a deep breath. And go to that place where God is. prophet knew this so much, even before the cross, hundreds and hundreds of years before the cross. And he said this of God, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Many of you feel abandonment. You feel like someone didn't do what they promised. Get out of that dead place. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. It's from the Message Bible, Jeremiah 29:11. If you are here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today's the day. You can believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll be saved. But I think the greatest thing that could happen today, salvation's great. It's wonderful. But the greatest thing that can happen is that you get delivered from your bitterness. You get delivered from your unforgiveness. Does that change the person that hurt you? Does that change the situation? Maybe not. But what it does, it changes you. And then what happens, you could start yelling instead of, oh God, do you know what they did to me? No, no. This is what your prayer is. God, Daddy, wait for me. Grab his hand. Start walking with him. You're going to work tomorrow. Walk with him. Grab a hold of his hand. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Walk with him. Because that dead place, I'm going to say it, will kill you. But where God is, brings life. Changes everything. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. The many that are watching online, from Edison to the church homes, many watching online, in Jesus' name, hear this today. Understand what God is saying and crying out, what Daddy's saying to his sons and daughters. Believe in me. That's what the resurrection, the death and resurrection did. Change the thinking now and move forward and walk with God. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters' blessings upon them. We release the Rubatum family to the blessing of God, walking where God has led them. And I give you praise for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. I would really, really, before you leave, I'd really like to ask you, the next few weeks, start telling people your testimony of what you have learned in the last few weeks. And start telling people what God is doing. Walk in that gratitude and thankfulness. Be thankful for what God is saying to you. And men, sign up. You need a spiritual father. You need brothers that are there with you. Sign up. Don't leave today without that. And then get online, all those watching online. Sign up for the men's breakfast next week. God bless you. I love you. Have an amazing day. Touches earth, it can never be reversed. It's the kingdom.